Let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Let's go from verse 3. So 2 Corinthians 10, verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses. We're destroying speculations and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God, and we're taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. And we are ready to punish all disobedience whenever your obedience is complete. You are looking at things as they are outwardly. If anyone is confident in himself that he is Christ, let him consider this again with himself, that just as he is Christ, so also are we. And it continues, goes on. Okay, amen. We're again in the morning here, at least for this week, talking more about matters of the spirit, kind of spiritual matters, and we have this one episode here where Paul begins to talk about, in essence, spiritual warfare, and he says in the beginning, you know, though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh, and this kind of would go quite well with what I was talking about on Sunday. About never judge outward appearance, you know, or never judge, you know, outward activity, because in this context, Paul is talking about himself. You know, he's saying that, you know, in person, you know, I don't really look like much. You know, my speech in person is not that much. My speech is weighty in my letters. And it continues on there. And he gives us kind of a good frame of reference about the spiritual battle. He says, the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh. Right, but divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses. In other words, the word divinely powerful means mighty before God. In other words, they in and of themselves, not much, but when God has a hold of it, it becomes mighty. And it says, we are destroying speculations and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God. We're taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. And so, look what he's saying here. Speculations, knowledge, thoughts. Okay, we've been talking about, you know, the last few weeks that spiritual warfare, the arena of warfare is the mind. And so Paul picks up on this theme again. He says, speculations, right, these are kind of a judgments, we can say, you know, knowledge, you know, and thoughts, right? Again, all of these things happen in the mind. And so he's drawing this picture. And he's saying that, you know, to the church, he's saying, you can understand that we are in a spiritual battle. And so the weapons that we wage in this battle are not of the flesh. You know, they're not battles that we, you know, wage with our hands and our feet. And it's not like some kind of combat. It's a spiritual battle which requires spiritual weapons. You know, and I'm going to spend, not this Sunday, but hopefully the next Sunday if I get through the message, talking initially about that. And so in part of this this spiritual battle that we need to understand is that we can't operate as human beings, right? If you want to win this battle, you have to operate as spiritual beings. You know, it's a difference. One of my early pastors, when he started going to seminary, he grew up in a very, very, I would even say, ultra-conservative background, you know. So much so that the church that he attended, people would they would say that, you know, spiritual gifts and miracles just don't happen. You know, in fact, this one pastor actually said that after the, you know, from the time of the Bible, there has not been one documented miracle. You know, and I mean, it's just ridiculous, right? I mean, you're talking like a hyper cessationist, and so he was a part of that church. You know, he grew up under that. And but as he started going to seminary, you know, he was a student at Fuller, and he started meeting people and professors that talked about the spiritual realm. And one particular professor started talking about evil spirits. And in fact, he was in Dr. Kraft's class, you know, who we're going to have here in January, so it's kind of interesting. And he prayed this prayer kind of silently to the Lord, and he said, Lord, I'd like to see a demon. I'd just like to see a demon, you know. I'm kind of, you know, kind of convinced, you know, but I'd like to see one face to face. And so, you know, the Lord obliged, basically. And the next weekend, one of his best friends, his mom, just went nuts. And she basically got demonized. And she didn't eat or sleep for like 3 or 4 days. And his friend said, hey, you want to come over and help out? You know, my mom is demonized. I mean, and so he's thinking, oh, this is finally, I get my first chance to see an evil spirit. He goes to the guy's house. He ends up sleeping there overnight, you know, to kind of do like a night watch, you know, over this friend's mom. And scared out of his mind, you know, he goes there and he starts, because, you know, he has learned a few things, right? I mean, Jesus said, in the name of Jesus, cast him out. So he learned that kind of stuff. So he went in and he would say, in the name of Jesus, I command you to get out. And this evil spirit would look at him, and in one particular episode, kind of smirked and chuckled and it's like, that doesn't work on me, you know. Kind of like, who do you think you are, kind of thing, you know, speaking with her voice box, but it wasn't her voice. And so he freaked out. He decided to stay there that night. And so just, you know, understanding that he's in this spiritual battle, doesn't know his weapons, you know, doesn't know his authority. And next thing you know, they're in the room, and, you know, a bunch of people, and many, many pastors had come to the house and tried to exorcise this evil spirit, but to no avail. And, you know, at all times, you know, the demon would start saying, ah, you have no authority, you know, you're not a real pastor, you know, I mean, all kinds of stuff like this. Well, all of a sudden, one day, as this evil spirit is kind of making fun of the people that are in the room, next thing you know, the evil spirit, right, and the woman cower to one corner of the room and just starts begging for their life. You know, oh, no, don't, you know, kind of says, you know, oh, don't let her in, don't let her in. And what happened is right at the same time, an old, well, you guys are all Korean here, old Hwansanim, right, came into the front door and downstairs, but the spirit recognized the presence and was begging, just begging everyone, oh, I'll leave, I'll be quiet, I'll be good, just don't let her in, you know. And then this Hwansanim basically went upstairs, came into the room, right, and I mean, the evil spirit was just begging people not to let her in the door. She comes in the door, you know, as most Koreans do, right, they sit down, they kneel, you know, spend a few moments in prayer, right, and as soon as this Hwansanim was done praying, she looked at the evil spirit and said, in the name of Jesus, I command you to shut up, you know. And next thing you know, evil spirit's quiet. And then she kicked out the demon, you know, and she was fine, right? And see, what happens a lot of times that we tend to simply operate in as human beings, you know, we don't recognize the authority, the weapons of warfare, you know, that are divinely powerful that God has laid before us. You know, and this woman, you know, this Hwansanim, she knew her authority. She knew that she was not, you know, struggling against flesh and blood, but against powers, principalities, world forces. You know, the weapons that she had are not of the flesh. You know, they're not, it's not size, it's not volume, it's not any of these things. You know, the weapons that this woman carried was a devout life of prayer. You know, it was a devout life of servanthood and service given over to God. And as a result of that, right, she changed the atmosphere. You know, I mean, this is just, you know, a small thing. You know, I'm sorry, I can't elaborate more. I'm going to get into it, you know, in a few Sundays. You know, but let's think about that for a moment. I wonder how many times that we operate in church, you know, in decision-making and all these things, and we operate out of our own devices. We operate out of human instinct. You know, we operate out of, you know, our intuition or whatnot, instead of by the voice of God, you know, through a life marked by prayer. You know, and you know, I'm preaching to the choir here since you guys came out to morning prayer, but there's something about that, you know, and those acts that we do as spiritual beings, you know, they result in spiritual weapons. All right, so let's close our eyes today. And this morning, more than other mornings, let's not operate out of the flesh, but let's operate out of the weapons, divine weapons that God has given to us. Whatever is going on in your life today, whatever you're asking the Lord for today, Let's not act as humans and beg God or do some kind of barter system with God, because God loves us. But let's begin to yield our weapons of humility, of a devoted prayer life, and let's begin to seek God in those prayer requests that we have through His lens and not ours. A lot of what I'm talking about is a shift from being self-centered to God-centered. And as Pastor Nate leads us in some worship, let's just focus on that. And ask yourself, am I walking and living and battling in the flesh? Because this war is not in the flesh. Let's take a moment. Let's pray. Let's pray that as spiritual beings, that no matter what we're confronted with, no matter what we're facing today, that we would operate as spiritual beings, that there would be an incredible reliance on God and His Spirit, that we operate not in actions, you know, not in doing things, but that we actually operate on our knees. That prayer becomes that link that brings forth as human beings and brings us into that spiritual place. And so let's pray right now just for a heart to continue to submit to God, and a heart to be humble before the Lord, and a heart to pray things out instead of act things out. So let's just spend some time and just offer that up to God. Let's cover our house churches tonight. Let's ask for God's favor and blessing. Tonight there's only two. There's the Conduit Road one, the new one, with Sandra and GA. And let's pray for the PP Pacific Place with Mike and Angie. Let's just pray that the presence of God would come and minister at each one, to be a great sense of community. And let's just cover these churches tonight. Lastly, let's pray over our church. Let's pray specifically about our move. Pray that God would just provide a building for us and the funds to pay for it. Let's pray for our relationship with the Korean church, that it would just go smoothly and we'd find a good end in our relationship. Let's just ask God to just cover this really important phase of Solomon's Porch. Lord, we just bless you, God. We thank you, Lord. Lord, for your power, God, manifested through us, Lord. We thank you, God, that you desire to, Lord, use us, God, and to work through us, Lord. And God, and as people that want to be used by you, Father God, we just pray, Lord, that we would not operate, God, out of our human instinct, God. We would not operate as human beings, Father God, but that we would operate as spiritual beings, Lord. That's where the battle is won, Father. And so, Lord, I pray that you would just grant to us the weapons of our warfare, God, divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses. Lord, I ask, God, that you would just grant to us, Lord, everything that we need to succeed, Father. Lord, over this church, God, over our house churches, over our lives, Lord, over our companies that we work for, God, that you would just have your way, God. Lord, we bless you, we thank you, Lord. We seal, God, this word in our hearts by the Spirit of God. Lord, use us today, Lord. We bless you, we thank you, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Have a great day today. Please do stick around and pray, and we'll see you guys in the weekend.